بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Alhamdulillah, in continuation of the Road to Ramadan series, where we have maybe 1 week left until Ramadan, we bid farewell to the month of Sha'ban and we welcome the month of Ramadan. What better way to prepare than to discuss time management? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Ramadan a month where His mercy descends, a month wherein He's made a conducive environment for it also. I'll explain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one authentic narration mentions, إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, that when Ramadan enters, the doors of Jannah are opened. Now that is metaphoric to say that the doors of Jannah open, meaning Allah's mercy is descending, is our opportunity to make sure our names are from amongst the Jannatis. It's our opportunity. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ, and the doors of Jahannam are closed. That's not to say that a person cannot become a Jahannami. That's to try, it's a kinaya. It's metaphorically to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath is not there. It's the purpose of this month. It's not Allah's wrath, it's Allah's mercy. Then the narration continues, وَصُفِّدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that the shayateen are chained. In one narration, وَصُفِّدَتْ مَرَدَةُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that the rebellious shayateen are chained. Now, so the first part is that Allah's, it's a month of Allah's mercy. Second part, it's a month where Allah has made a conducive environment for it. He's not just left us with the doors of Jannah being open, but He's also chained the rebellious shayateen for us to maximize benefit. But despite that, we find that the month of Ramadan passes by, or it's coming towards the end of Ramadan, and we're beginning to get into routine, and we're beginning to benefit much more spiritually in the month of Ramadan. You know, we are, as a Muslim community, we often lack vision. What I mean by that is sometimes we seek immediate results. If there's a project, a charity project, and you can see the results immediately, we'll donate towards it. We often lack vision. Or if we have a vision, we lack strategy and we lack the ability to implement it. I'll give an example. You know, the likes of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, Umar the second Umar, etc. The systems that set up, in fact, in the Ottomans, there was one emir from amongst them. He would spend 50% of the expenditure would be spent towards academia, towards academics, meaning in terms of ilm, in terms of gaining knowledge. So the governors began questioning him to say that, look, why is an equal divide between what's being spent on the army and the academics? Why is an equal distribution? So he said to them that you are the army of the day, but they are the army of the night. Who's going to stand up at night to make dua for the ummah? There's the means, you are the army, which I'm giving you 50%. But who's going to stand up and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for success? Those are my academics, and they're going to continue, those that are engaged in the ilm, that are going to continue. He had a vision and they had implementation. The strategy was there to implement it. Now, one contributing element to this is that we're not particular with our time. And this is in direct conflict with our Islamic worldview, with our Islamic understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتَ فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَا مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. The person who is dead, he has no life. Is he like the person who we've revived? A person who has iman is alive. So the scholars, the rest of this, essentially they're not the same. One of the scholars commenting on this verse, he writes, saying that, why is a disbeliever described as being dead? Allah has described a disbeliever as being dead, and him being revived is by him accepting Islam. Why is a disbeliever regarded as being dead? He said that a disbeliever has no meaning, he has no purpose. When you have no meaning, you have no purpose, you're not living a life which you're supposed to live. Therefore, time is being wasted. And that time being wasted is why you're as good as dead. So the whole, again, kufr itself is obviously, that's going to, and a person will be in Jahannam due to that. But the reason why he highlights this, he said that the person will be doing those things which he's not supposed to be doing. Yujibul waqfa, stagnant. He's not being productive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains that there are two qualities or two things that people have in their lives which they are very neglectful of. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ. Two bounties with which we're very negligent regarding. Well, he said, كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, many people. Majority, many people are neglectful regarding these two. One, الصِّحَّة, one, health. And number two, الفراغ, is leisure, our spare time. Both of these things. And the most peculiar thing about these two qualities, الصِّحَّة and الفراغ, that your health and your leisure, you only value them and you only recognize them once they're lost. Once you lose them, that's when you'll begin to value them. In fact, you know, going back to that verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a disbeliever as dead, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi writes beautifully and he said that, you know, if you pass away, wasting time is worse than passing away. Because once you pass away, you're disconnected from your family. But when you waste time, you are disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all levels of spirituality. That's describing that why being dead, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes that a person who doesn't have iman is as good as dead, meaning he is dead, that when you die, you're only disconnected from your family. But when you waste time, you are disconnected from all forms of spirituality and disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from your religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to focus on two ayat now. There are two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's an element of time being discussed. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمْ مَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. That when a person dies, when death approaches an individual, he will say, either to the Malakul Maut or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, in this verse, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, O Allah, return me to the world. When a person passes, as he's passing away. This is a disbeliever, by the way, a disbeliever. And his reason why is, لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. So that I can do good in the world that I left. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that the good that he's referring to is accepting iman. Accepting iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. Never, meaning that once you leave this world, you're never going to return. One. Two, إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. These are mere words. And in the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If only you could see when they will stand, وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ, standing by Jahannam, that they will then say, if only we could be returned to the world. If only we could be returned to the world. وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا, and we would not reject Allah's signs. And we would be from amongst the believers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions directly after that, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْ. Even if they were to return to the world, they will return to their old habits. But the point over here is, these people were regretful over how they spent their time. Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith that sees five things before five. Three of them are time related. There are five things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, sees five before five, of which three are time related. Number one, شَبَابَكْ قَبْلَ هَرَمِكْ. Your youth before your old age. وَصِحَّةَ قَبْلَ سَقَمِكْ. That's more health related. وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقَرِكْ. Your wealth before your poverty. وَفَرَاغَ قَبْلَ شُغْرِكْ. Your leisure before your occupation, before you're busy. Take value that spare time that you have. And number three, the fifth point in this hadith, but the third thing which is time related, is وَحَيَاتَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكْ. Your life before your death. Seize these five things before these five things that come, of which three of them are time related. Number one, the time related one was your youth before your old age. Number two, the other time related one was your leisure before your occupation. And number three, your life before your death. And no matter how productive we are, we can always improve. The harms of it, what's the harms of not being productive? You know, in Islamic psychology, during therapy, with many individuals, you have multiple methods in trying to assess what's going wrong with the individual. But when you go through, we generally go through a timetable to ask them, what is it you're trying to achieve? Meaning, what's your envisaged future? And what's going on currently? Try and show the discrepancy in their timetable. Of them, one of the things that this induces is low self-esteem. Spiritually, the person feels unfulfilled. The person doesn't feel like they're fulfilling what they've been set out to do. Allah mentions, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I've created man and jinn to worship, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill a purpose. If we're not fulfilling that purpose, there'll be a void in our lives. Without having that timetable, without knowing whether we are fulfilling that, we'll feel that void. We'll be unfulfilled. Number two, shaitan seizes that individual who does not, who's idle. You know how we say that an idol's mind is the devil's workshop? I'll give you an example. How many individuals do we know, they deviate because they just have far too much time on their hands and they're watching the wrong things. Going on TikTok, going on YouTube, watching the wrong shorts, and they become deviant, following the wrong ideas. Think, you know, you're in some random place, when I was in Canada, far west Vancouver. We're there, and with the boys, they had heard of individuals in the UK, of certain deviants, that they were listening to, which I had no idea existed. All the way there. And you ask them, and the same thing, shorts and TikTok, listen to the wrong people, and getting the wrong ideas of certain aspects within the deen. When we're spending our time unproductively, as one of our teachers, well, one of our shuyukh, Shaykh Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, one of Shaykh al-Hadith in Sahalunpur, he would mention that if you don't spend your time doing the right things, you're guaranteed to do the wrong things. Spend your time correctly and you'll be guaranteed to stay away from sin. What's the solution? How do we do this? Number one, creating that timetable, particularly for Ramadan. It takes time sometimes to acclimate, to acclimatize and get used to the routine in Ramadan. But if we create that timetable, it'll help us remain occupied, and not only that, assess ourselves constantly. There's one psychologist, David Cohen, he writes that there are three main reasons why we love our to-do lists. One of them was that it dampens anxiety. Meaning, when you know what you're supposed to be doing, you're not just mindless. You know what you've got to do, it dampens your anxiety, gives you a bit more stability. Second point, he mentions is structure in your life. With a timetable, you have a bit more structure, stability essentially. And number three, it's to recollect, to assess yourself, that you can actually do muhasab. Well, he doesn't say muhasab, but he says more that at the end of the day, at the end of the week, and at the end of the month, you can assess yourself. What have I managed to achieve and what was I supposed to achieve? Meaning with the to-do list or with your timetable, you had a list of things that you were supposed to do, and at the end of the month, you can assess, well, what did I do and what did I not do? Especially in the month of Ramadan, five things that need to be highlighted. Number one, salah. Performance of our salah as much as you can do in the masjid. If you're at work, it's different. But even if you're at work, try and establish salah with jama'ah. That's never an excuse. Rasulullah ﷺ mentions that مَا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ فِي قَرْيَةٍ وَلَا بَدْوٍ إِلَّا تُقَامُ فِيهِمُ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَّا اسْتَحْوَذَ عَلَيْهِمُ الشَّيْطَانِ That there are not two or three individuals in a town or a city and they don't establish salah except shaitan seizes them. Whether that's through their spirituality, whether it's through their minds and they become individualized, there's a communal aspect in Islam, a collective thing in Islam. There are not two or three individuals and they don't establish salah except shaitan seizes them. And Rasulullah ﷺ then explains, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ فَعَلَيْكَ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ Hold firm onto performing salah with jama'ah. Hold firm onto that. Especially in the month of Ramadan. We'll have a tarawih salah at night, etc. Your tahajjud salah. Number two, recitation of the Qur'an. The month of Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an. When you make that timetable, incorporate times for your recitation of the Qur'an. Think to yourself, how much time do I spend commuting? How long do I spend going to work, returning? How much Qur'an can I do in that time? Number three, dhikr. The morning and evening adhkar. If I'm walking to the masjid and it's a 5-minute walk, how much adhkar can I get done within that time? Do not let a minute go to waste. Number four, dua. At the time of tahajjud, between the adhan and iqamah, at the time of iftar, these are all times of accepted duas. Incorporate these in your timetable. Make it such that no matter what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes before iftar, or asr to maghrib, however it is, I'm going to make sure I'm in the masjid. My dua is going to be accepted. This month, I've got a number of things that I need accepted in my duas, that this month I'm going to get them accepted. And number five, helping others and family ties. It's the month of Ramadan. In fact, the scholars would mention that in Sha'ban, they would give their zakah so that the people can benefit in the month of Ramadan, particularly. So you're helping others and family ties in the month of Ramadan. These five things, I've just glossed over them. But on Monday, we have part two of our Ramadan workshop. Part one, we went through the fiqh of Ramadan, the rulings of Ramadan. The second part is the inner dimensions. How do we spiritually maximize benefit in the month of Ramadan? And I'm going to go through the timetable. Every person, it's an individualized thing. It's more personal, so you won't exactly express it, how you're going to spend your time. But you'll be given a breakdown. What salah, what adhkar, what tilawah, how we can help others, and a complete breakdown for you to be able to implement it practically. Part two of it is going to be on Monday after Maghrib Salah. Maghrib Salah will be at 5:46 inshallah. After Maghrib Salah for an hour will be part two, and it's focused on maximizing benefit. The first one was the more theory, was the more the rulings related to Ramadan. The second one is a practical, where we're going to go through timetable, how to incorporate all of these things to maximize benefit this Ramadan. This Ramadan is going to become a meaningful Ramadan. Also, finally, it's going to be through muhasabah, that once you create this timetable, at the end of it, it comes down to the thing that, how am I going to assess myself? There are four things, four R's, and I'll put this down on the group, on the reminders group, on the community. Join there if you're not already on. That the four R's. At the end of the day, retrace your steps. What have you done? You knew what you had to do. Retrace your steps. What did you do today? Number two, reason. Why did you do, something that went wrong, why did it go wrong? Number three, refine. Find a solution. For what went wrong, what's a solution to it? How do I prevent that happening in the future? And number four, resolution. Become determined to ensure that that does not repeat. Those are the four things for accepted tawbah, and those are the four things to create meaningful change in our lives. Again, to repeat the four things, retracing our steps, what went wrong, reason, why did it go wrong? Number three, refine, what's the solution to it? Number four, resolution, becoming determined to make that change. In summary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a short life in this world. Wal asr, Allah swears by time. He makes an oath by time. Every person is in loss except those who have iman, those that do good. They encourage others to do good and they encourage others upon sabr. Iman is something that makes a person productive. If a person isn't productive, he's as good as a disbeliever according to one statement of Oman kana mayta, the person who is dead, he has no iman because the person is wasting his time. He's not fulfilling his purpose. A person who has iman fulfills this. How can we do this? Creating that timetable, particularly in Ramadan, so we can maximize benefit and take ourselves to account at the end of the day by these four things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.